Several years ago, I was in a meeting where I was like definitely the low man on the totem pole, and there was like my boss, and then his boss, and then another boss, and we were in that meeting, and my boss's boss in the meeting just out of nowhere decided to kind of turn the meeting towards me, and he basically called me out in front of 10 other people and basically questioned my motives and my integrity in front of the whole group and kind of called me not a liar, but kind of a deceiver. And it was out of nowhere. The meeting had nothing to do with that. And I got, can you imagine? I was so peaceful. I said, it's okay. I got hot. I mean, it was one of those meetings where like, it was like a real meeting. What I mean by a real meeting is like half the people were wearing ties. Okay, that's a real meeting. I don't know. I don't go to those all the time, but that was like a real meeting. Like half the people wearing ties. I wasn't one of those people. And then all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I'm just sitting there kind of minding my own business. And then this whole thing became on me and all my peers that were in the room and my boss and then other people were now looking at me under a microscope and thinking, well, if what he said is true, you're you know, a scoundrel. And what was being implied and what was being said couldn't have been further from the truth. And I just felt like I was under attack. And in that moment, I literally like stood up. I slammed my hand on the table and I said, that is a lie. And if I don't leave this room right now, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff that I regret. And so I got up and walked out of the room. I mean, what a hothead. I look back on that now. Good grief. But that's what I did. I was so angry and I was so hurt. And I went home and I told Katie, I said, he said this and he said this. And then so-and-so like chimed in and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. None of it's true. And I'm just like, what in the world? And I didn't get a phone call. Nothing. So the next day I go to work and I'm just expecting, right? I'm just expecting to, hey, would you come in and have a meeting with this person? Come in, and I'm expecting what? I'm expecting the apology. I'm just expecting like them to reach out to me and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I should have talked to you offline. I should have da-da-da-da-da-da. And the whole day goes by, I even saw this person, and it was awkward, and I just didn't want to interact. And I just like, you know, I was upset and just kind of moved along. And then that day went by and left, and I'm like, well, next day it's definitely going to happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen for like 3 weeks. And that whole time, me and this person just had this like this kind of like tension, and then like things in other meetings that had nothing to do, and there was no tension. Like we brought that tension to it, and we fought about stuff that didn't matter. And it was just this mess of a relationship all because of this moment. And the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm going, come on, man, you need to step up and like, you need to say you're sorry. What you did was wrong. Weeks later, I get a call. Hey, are you going to come and sit down and talk? We're talking about something unrelated. And this person just says to me, do you feel comfortable about what happened in that meeting? I'm like, what meeting? The meeting where, you know, where you got upset and stormed out. I said, no, I don't feel comfortable. Well, do you understand what happened now? And I'm like, wait a minute. Literally, like, the person did not apologize, and they basically were saying, like, the way you responded was wrong. I was just like, what is going on? And it was never talked about again. It was never talked about again. And for months, it was a source of bitterness for me. I was so frustrated, and I just thought, like, man, like this is my, like, credibility. Like, you said these things in front of these people. Like, I didn't even get to defend myself. I didn't even get to like say that wasn't true. And I don't even know what happened after the meeting, after I left. And what is everybody thinking? And oh man, I was just a mess. And worse than that, me and this person never had the same relationship. I never disclosed things like I had before. I never interacted with this person the same baseline. I had kind of lost trust. And our relationship, even to this day, has been a little bit severed, a little bit hurt because of that. And for the longest time, I let that happen because I was like, you know what? For this to be fixed, he's got to come to me. He better come and say he's sorry. This was not that long ago. This is not like, oh man, Joel, I'm glad you've grown up so much and that this is what happened and it's not what happens. This still happens in my life, right? I get caught in moments where someone might do something to me and I'm like, they better fix it. They better do it. They better say they're sorry. They better make amends. They better pay the price. They, you know, even if I get soft and genteel, I'm waiting for them to be the one that pays the price. I'm waiting for them to be the one that says they did it wrong. You ever had that in your life? I find it all the time that when somebody hurts me or somebody does something, and I'm not talking about the stuff that like puts us in prison, and that's just like a whole other conversation. I'm not talking about the stuff that, you know, puts us on medication. I'm not talking about that type of offense, and those are awful, and that's a whole other conversation. I'm talking about the day-to-day, the work relationship, the family interaction, the friend interaction, all that stuff. When somebody oversteps and then you feel, oh, and the tension between the relationship gets high, what is your gut reaction? Because I know for me that my gut reaction is that it's their job to fix it. And I find in so many of our lives is that we make our peace someone else's responsibility. When it comes to relationships, we go, you know what? They did it. We were fine, right? And here's how you know if you're thinking this way. We were fine until you did. It was all good until you said. We had a great relationship and then you went. And you know, like, oh, it's their thing. It's their deal. And I find so often that we go ahead and we take brokenness in relationship, we take emptiness in relationship, we take conflict in relationship, and we say, hey, if you want to fix this piece, then you know what? Then it's your responsibility, not mine. Not mine. And in this series, I'm talking about peace, and we're talking about peace, and we've said that peace is freedom from disturbance, and that happens in the world around us, and that happens inside, and today we're talking about how that happens in relationships. And the point of this series that I'm trying to get you to see is that if you're going to have freedom from disturbance, that is not going to be found in your life through circumstances, through a what, through a thing, through something you buy, through somewhere you go. It's not going to be found. It's going to be found in a who. Peace is reached relationally. That's the big idea. So as you're looking for freedom from disturbance in every facet of life, the only place that you're really going to find peace is in the context of relationship. That's what matters. Even in the midst, when stuff gets crazy around you, that stuff you can't control, you can find peace in the midst of that storm, and the peace in the midst of that storm comes through relationship. So week one, as I talked about relationship, I said the first and most important relationship you need to have is this one, the one between you and God. And the scriptures say that He, Jesus, is our peace. What that teaches us is two things. It teaches us that God is the one who brought people together and who brought us together with Him. He's the one who did it. He's the one who forgave us of our sins, that sin was in between me and God, and then God was the one that forgave that sin and fixed the relationship. And when He says He is our peace, what it tells us also is that sin or that peace is actually reached relationally. That there's a relational, it's not a what is our peace, it's a who, it's a God. He is our peace. And so we talked week one about how in order to have a relationship with God, you have got to have Him forgive you of your sins, and that is the beginning of all kinds of peace in your life. And just a quick disclaimer, like, you have to understand that this piece right here is the most important piece of the puzzle. That's what I said week one. Jesus is the most important piece in this puzzle, and here's what that means for today. Peace with God leads to peace with people around you. Leads to peace with people around you. If you don't have this, you can't have what I'm talking about today. Because there's a whole bunch of other things in regards to peace that I could have talked about during this series. One of them, which is one of the coolest ones, which I've talked about in other series before, is this thing called the Holy Spirit. And that is God in spirit form living inside of us. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that the fruit or the activity or the work of God or the Holy Spirit inside you and me is love, joy, and one of the things He says is peace. So what happens is the Holy Spirit of God, as He lives inside of us, as He broke down the wall and the barrier between us and He erased sin, then He lives inside of us and He gives us this ability to have peace and to be peace. And so if you want to have relationships that are peaceful around you, you've got to have a relationship with God that is peaceful, that He offers you through dying on the cross, wiping away your sin, and saying, I want to walk with you and have a relationship with you. Peace with God leads to peace with people. The second week, which was last week, I talked about peace between me and me. And I talked about how once God is living in my life, then I kind of go through this life with this double-minded thing where I've got sin and things that I do that I'm not supposed to do, and that has a voice, and it says, shame, you're a bad person. And then I've got this other thing, the Holy Spirit of God, that says, you're not a bad person, you just did something bad, and I have more for you. And we said that if you remove sin from this life of yours, inside your mind, inside your heart, then you are going to be at peace with yourself. That you're going to be able to talk to yourself and go, no, man, you're doing good. No, it's okay. It's all good. And you're not going to have this conflict between me and me, beating each other up. It's like the angel on the shoulder and the devil on the shoulder. Ooh, go do it. Ooh, don't go do it. You remove sin, and then you are okay with you. And today, what I'm talking about is me and others. Me and other people. How do you, in your life, when something happens that causes the conflict, that causes the tension, when the offense has been made, how do you find peace? How do you find peace? One of the authors of the New Testament we talk about all the time wrote the book of Romans, and he writes this letter to Christians in Rome in the first century, and he is sharing with them a completely new way to live life. Romans, for hundreds, thousands of years, up to this point, lived by this idea that they were never, ever to let go of someone who was offensive to them. In fact, if a person was offensive to them, then it was their job as a nation, and then the nation and the emperors taught this principle, and the people lived it out with their neighbors, was if someone attacks you, you attack them back. If someone does something to you, you repay them with evil. You take their evil and you go back to them. Rome had started to enter into the season of Roman peace, which was, we're done expanding our horizons, our nation. We're not just destroying all the nations around. We want us to try to live at peace with one another. But it didn't infiltrate into the way that people live their lives. They still had this iron fist mentality about relationships. And so Paul, when he writes the book of Romans, what he does is for 11 chapters, he describes how to have peace with God. How to have peace with God. And then when he gets to Romans 12, he goes like this. He goes, therefore, since you're new, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he says that that will prove to be the way you should live your life every day. And he goes on in this passage to say, now because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have peace with God, it's your job, regardless of your surroundings, to learn to find peace with the people around you. And he goes through amazing, amazing steps. Romans chapter 12 is one of the most practical pieces of scripture ever written for Christians. But one thing that's really cool is this piece right here, he actually does something that's unique. He says, listen, Christians, you are supposed to get along with Christians, but you are also supposed to get along with those that don't call themselves followers of Christ. And he says, it's your job to be peace. And so he unpacks this in Romans chapter 12. So I want to look at this and show this to you kind of step by step. Verse 18, it says this. It says, if it is possible. And with this phrase, when he says, if it is possible, what he is saying is that your job as a follower of Christ is to look for peaceful possibilities. Is for you to go, I know that this person came at me and they did this thing to me and they hurt me, or I know that that person did this to them, but my job now as a follower of Christ is to stop thinking negatively, is to stop being defensive, but to think, what are the possibilities? You see, one of the keys to relational health, to relational love, is going, no matter what that person did, I believe that there's a possibility that we could solve our differences. I believe that there's something, yeah, they did this to me, but I'm going to even move outside of the margins of what they did to me and go, yeah, see, I know there's good. I know there's a possibility that this relationship could be solved. And one of the ways you can do that, you guys, is to look at yourself and know that when you do that thing, which we all have done that thing or are doing that thing or did that thing, whatever, where we offend someone and we make them feel like ostracized, or we give them a reason that they need to forgive us, we know that that thing that it's not us. It's not fully us. It's not all us. It just happens to be that that was the thing we did, but there's more. There's possibility that we could move past our differences. And so he says, if it's possible, one of my just kind of thoughts for you guys today is in your relationships, you know, I had a conversation after the last service where someone came up and said, I just don't know if it's possible for me to be at peace with this person. And I just listen, and I just want to hear that and absorb that and not kind of shove it in his face. But I wanted to say, and say it right now, oh man, I know that offense that you experienced was so difficult. But do you see that as a Christ follower, you've got to see a possibility. You've got to have vision for greatness in your relationships. You got to have a heart. You got to have an optimistic eye. You got to go, come on, come on, come on. You see, in their culture, when there was an offense, what it did was close the door on possibility. Oh, they did this to me. Boom, I'm bringing the sword. Oh, they did this to me. Boom, I'm taking their life. And Paul says, dude, this is Jesus talk. This is radical. This is different. He was bruised. He was nailed to a tree. He had the most offense given to him and taken by him than any person ever. And he looked at you and me and found the possibility for peace. You got to do that now. And then he goes, as far as it depends on, guess what? You. If it is possible, look for the possibilities. As far as it depends on you, you have got to bring peace. He's basically saying, like, you guys, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you to do everything you can. Yes, it's true. You could do the right thing. You could forgive. You could repay good with evil. You could do all that. And they might respond and turn away from you. They may not accept your apology. They may not forgive you. Whatever it is, they may not. But as far as it's you, as far as it's your thing, as far as you can handle it, you have got to be the peace. If you can be the peace, be the peace. If you can make the difference, make the difference. Take the step. Take the responsibility. This is every single one of us today going, okay, if I have conflict in my life with another person, if there's anything that I can do about that conflict, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not pushing the responsibility of peace and relationships onto people who don't know Christ. I'm not pushing the responsibility of peace onto people who do know Christ, but they may not have figured this peace out yet. I'm taking it. It depends on me. I'm going to be the peace. As far as it depends on you, he says this, live at peace with everyone. With everyone. When you see everyone there, that is this. It's not the people that you live with that you love and it's easy to forgive. It's not your best friends that you've gone through the hills and the valleys with. This is the people who hurt you. These are the people who is really difficult. In this context, he's saying the non-believers who persecute you because of your faith, as far as you possibly can, could you overwhelm them with love? Could you overwhelm them with forgiveness and that they might see that you care about that relationship so much that you're willing to do anything you can to be at peace with them? You see, I believe that you are the relational piece in this puzzle. I believe that so many times we put the responsibility of peace relationally on someone else. Hey man, when they come and they ask for my forgiveness, hey, when they get it right, when they say the right thing, when they have all the right stuff put together, when they fix their life, when they da-da-da-da-da-da. And right in this passage, Paul goes, Don't put the responsibility on them. You take the responsibility. Come on, guys. How can we ask people that don't know Christ, who don't have the Holy Spirit of God inside of them, therefore they don't have the fruit of the Spirit, to bring peace in the context of a relationship? You're the one who has been communicated this love. You're the one that has the peace of God inside of you. So now it's time for you to be the peace. I believe this. I believe for peace, you need to forgive. I believe that when you look in all of the relational pieces of the puzzle, that the key component is when we get something happen to us that pushes relationships and it causes this friction in relationships, I believe that we are given an opportunity to forgive, to let that thing not rule us, and to still treat that person with love. And I believe in the heart of this message, of this series, was you are going to live in conflict with people for the rest of your life until you make forgiving them your responsibility and therefore bring peace into the relationship. That's how I believe it happens. I believe if you want peace relationally, you've got to forgive. For peace, forgive. I believe that what happens is we get offended and then we get trapped and then that person rules our mind and then we can't forgive them and then we're living in this tension. And God says, come on, guys, it's your job to forgive. Someone said this, personal peace is achieved by forgiving others who have offended you. Otherwise, you let them live in your head. And I don't think that the person that said this meant, you know, you don't want that person to live in your head, or you don't want that to care about that person. I think this means that when a person lives in your head, it means that they're dominating your thoughts, that you're angry, that you're bitter. And until you choose to forgive them, you're handing them this power. You're saying you have the power to bring peace in this relationship. And Paul says, don't ever give anyone the power to bring peace in a relationship. You as a follower, this is what's been modeled for you. So you need to do this for others. Let me just take us back through the weeks, right? Me and God. How do you have peace with God? We have peace with God because God decided to forgive us. There was this horrible tragedy that took place where we sinned against God and our attitudes were turned against God. And God looked at all of that and he went, I forgive you. I forgive you. He said, you know what? If we're going to be okay, then I've got to be the peace. If we're going to be okay, then as far as it depends on me, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do this. There's a couple amazing people that have talked about forgiveness. One of them is Martin Luther King Jr. He said this. He said, forgiveness is not an act. It's not an action. It's not a step. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that you have. It basically says, I know you're going to offend me. I know you're going to turn your back on me. And I'm already prepared to forgive you for that. Because as far as it depends on me, we're going to be okay. I'm going to do everything I can do. I see the possibility. I forgive. A couple of months ago, when the tragedy in South Carolina hit and those amazing people were brutally murdered in the midst of a small group, we saw within 24 hours the family members of those victims speaking about how they forgave. How they forgave the person that did it already. Essentially, what they knew is what I'm talking about today. I've been forgiven. I'm going to be the peace. God did this for me, so I'm going to do it for others. Whenever a relationship that's broken gets brought back together, it's because somebody decided to be the peace. The second week, we talked about how when we have this interaction with ourselves, that God and the Holy Spirit of God is constantly reminding us that the sin that he died for to wipe away is actually gone. That you've actually been forgiven. And so in this whole interaction with yourself where you're going, I'm not good enough, but God says I'm good enough, da, 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 what we learn is that we go, God is constantly saying, do you know that you should listen to my voice? I forgave you. I'm the peace. You can be at peace with yourself because that thing that you did, I forgave it. And so the Holy Spirit of God speaks into our lives and says, you don't need to be of two minds about this. You can be of one mind. You can say and speak to yourself when you mess up, when you do that thing, you say, no. God loves me. God forgave me. Just because I sin, that doesn't mean I'm totally worthless. It means that what I did was bad, but God loves me. And so the key in a relationship, in kind of internal peace, is where you understand forgiveness. I've been forgiven. It's all wiped away. You have to constantly be reminded. The possibilities of positivity. God going, tell yourself all the time, you're forgiven. Don't let it beat you up. You're forgiven. I've done everything I can to bring peace between you and you. You're forgiven. Live it. Love it. Embrace it. And then today, between me and others, is me going, okay, week one, the reason I have a good relationship with God is because of forgiveness. Week two is because God reminds me inside of me all the time that I've been forgiven and that he loves me as I am. I don't have to live in shame. So now I've learned two different ways that in order to have great relationships, someone has to be the peace and someone has to forgive. So now whose job is it in a relationship? It's me. It's my job. It's my job as much as it depends upon me in this relationship. I can't put it on them. It's me. I'm going to be the peace. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I'm going to go after this relationship. I'm going to look for the possibility. I'm going to drive home a peaceful relationship. Now, if you're like me, then forgiveness is really, really tough. I mean, like really tough. I can honestly say and stand before you right now and say that there's several people in my life that I am struggling to forgive. And I mean that. And I have to tell you that I don't want this tension. I don't want it. I pray to God all the time, God, help me forgive them. Help me actually let the thing go. Help me care. Help me do all the things. But honestly, it's so difficult if you've ever had situations in your life where somebody might hurt you to just truly at a heart level be fully at peace. And so there are some times when I've gone through things and people have done things to me where I can find this kind of forgiveness and I can find it. And when I do, and even in the ones that I'm struggling with through right now, I can tell you that these things I'm about to show you are true about forgiveness. And this is kind of like your target. Like if you want to have peace relationally, then there's a couple things that I think have to happen in order for you to have it. And it looks kind of like this. The first thing is this. You only say positive things about the person. You only say positive things. Now, this is just the first one. This is not exhaustive. And what I mean by this is you only say positive things in front of your closest, most intimate relationships. This doesn't count if in front of a bunch of other people, you say positive things so that they think that you've let that thing go if they know anything about it. This is you to the people that know the situation. They know that you were hurt. They hear you speak positively. That's where that lives. Another one I found is when forgiveness has really happened is that you do something positive for this person. You do something. And it doesn't count if you do something positive for someone if a bunch of other people see it. You have got to, in your heart and in your mind, go, okay, I'm going to do something. And I'm not saying it doesn't count, but it may not be true forgiveness if you're doing it so that other people think you've forgiven them. You're doing this because you go, you know what? I love that person. I'm the peace. Here's the possibility. I'm going to make this work. I've been given so much, so I'm forgiving. And so I'm going to actually take a step to love that person in a practical way. And then this is kind of the kicker, because this is the one that it just hits you right in the heart. When you genuinely hope the best, here's how I know I've forgiven somebody. When I think about their life, and all I think about at a heart level is their genuine success, whatever that can be. If it's in the family dynamic, if it's in work dynamic, if it's in finance, whatever it is, just that they're successful, that whatever they're trying to accomplish, I genuinely go to God and I say, God, help this person be successful in their endeavors. Help their life to be happy and healthy and safe. I know that I've become the peace when these things happen. And here's just something I want you to think about as you're thinking about forgiving people and you're thinking about being the peace. If I only do one of these things, I haven't forgiven someone. If I do two of the three, I haven't forgiven someone. I know that when all these things are happening, that at a heart level and how I'm living it out, I've forgiven that person. And the pastor I grew up with used to say forgiveness is like an onion. You just tear the pieces away, and at first it just gets worse. It gets more difficult. It's challenging. But as you keep taking away the layers, you get to the point where you truly forgive. I want you guys to think through right now, who right in your life, in your mind, in your heart, are you in a position to be the peace with? Like, who is it that you have this thing? Probably they should be popping into your mind right now. Have you been the peace? Have you forgiven them? Have you actually gone through the process of being the peace in that relationship? Are you still disturbed? You know, I don't believe that God created us so that we would wake up at night and have fake conversations with people in our brains and be angry at other people because we're angry at someone else. I don't think that's the way it was designed to be. I think it's, hey, it's, as much as it depends upon you, be at peace. Forgive one another. It's your job. Paul said this in another letter that he wrote. I just want to like take us through this to just kind of wrap up this whole forgiveness thought with Scripture. Here's what it says in Colossians. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive them. If you have anything against somebody, forgive them. Say something nice, do something nice, pray for their success. Say something nice, do something nice, pray for their success. If you have a grievance with them, that means you have conflict. Whose responsibility is it? You. It's your responsibility. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. And if you have a grievance, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, when I am in a moment, right, where I am harboring bitterness and I'm having trouble forgiving someone, this may sound really simple, but we serve a God who took on the greatest offense in our sin, and he still goes, I'm going to be the peace. I'm going to forgive you. You know, when we struggle to forgive people, we're basically talking and thinking about God as if the person's sin against us was greater than our sin against God. It's never even close. And God chose to forgive. Scriptures teach us that if you want peace, you have to be it. You have to forgive. You see, in the tension between God and us, there was this problem, there was this offense, and Jesus just took it off the table with forgiveness. And now it's our job to do that. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What he's saying is that all of these attributes, including forgiveness, they all fit under this canopy of love, which is the greatest commandment. You're not really loving people if you haven't forgiven them for what they've done. If you're waiting for them to be the peace, you're not being Christ to them. Love wraps it all up. And then he says, it's so cool. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Anytime you're in conflict with somebody, anytime it happens, you're going to have this voice. You're going to have this option of defense, this option of being right, this option of putting people in their place, this option of justice. But now you have this peace in your heart that says, forgive. Say something nice. Do something nice. Pray for their success. And you have a choice to make. Are you going to let that voice win? Are you going to listen to the still, small voice of God, the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, who is peace, who's saying, say something nice. Do something nice. Pray for their success. It's a choice that you have to make. You become the peace. You fill the gap. You forgive. Let it rule. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. The puzzle piece is how in the world, in the midst of all these disturbing moments, in the midst of all the chaos that is around the world, in the midst of all the challenges we face internally, and in the midst of all the struggles we have relationally, how do we find peace? Between God and you, it's because He is our peace, and Jesus is the most important piece in the puzzle. If you don't have a relationship with Him, then it's going to be tough to have peace with the people around you. It's when you get sin out of your life. Being Spirit-led is peace in this puzzle. Sin clouds the mind. It speaks shame. It causes conflict inside. You remove sin, and you let peace reign. And then today, forgiveness. If you want to have a great relationship with somebody, I'm going to guess that if you forgave them, it might be solved. It might be fixed. Don't put peace on someone else's plate. Don't let them rule that. You be that in the relationship. You be peace. You solve.